Before I begin this morning, wanted to share a little public service announcement if you have not already heard, but a colleague of mine, a dear friend of mine, Pastor Cam Keyser, died yesterday. He is the pastor, just recently retired pastor from Trinity Church in Stevens City. And it's a pretty difficult thing to see. Cam's so full of life, so full of energy, creative, someone who I've gotten to know really well over the last year or two, and someone who was a friend, a colleague, that I admired for many reasons. And it seems so unfair, because young man, 68 years old, and full of so much more living to be done. So it's with a heavy heart that I gather with you today. I was with the family many times this past week and saw Cam for the last time on Thursday. Went Thursday morning early, like about 1 or 2 in the morning when I was with them. It's with a heavy heart that I come before you today. His funeral will be Saturday. It will be at Trinity Church. I just don't have any idea how we're going to hold everybody that's going to come, but it will be something that I think will hopefully be a big celebration, and I'm very honored to have been asked to participate significantly in that service. So I had to share that with you because that's on my heart this morning. I would ask for your prayers for his wife, Rhonda, as well as for his children, Chris, and his daughter, Ashley, and his little grandchildren who are missing him tremendously. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in this moment I lift up to you the spirit of my brother Cam and his family who's hurting, and our brothers and sisters in the faith at Trinity Stevens City who are feeling a great sense of loss now as well. Lord, I pray that you bless them all with the nourishment that they need, the comfort and peace that they need, so that they can all, Lord God, find light in the midst of the darkness, that they can find in the midst of the storm a refuge and a place to see a future. So Lord, I ask you to be with all who are hurting today, and I ask that for myself as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for allowing me to share that with you. On a much happier note, for me at least, is that this is the 17th year that we're celebrating our Harvest Sunday, and it's such a gift. Whenever I think about the work that is done here, where the example of all of you taking time out of your schedule to make food that you then sell to each other, of course, but still, the money goes to help support world hunger, reminds me of that great lesson in Scripture about using your gifts, using your talents, so that we can and we might be a blessing, as Brian talked about earlier today. It is something that I love, and I love the tagline that we always use for this, and it's on the front of your bulletin, Harvest Sunday, because there is enough food, there is enough to feed the world. There is enough. It is crazy that there are people that don't have enough sustainable food in their lives, because there is enough. David Beckman, if you've never heard of him, he is a Lutheran pastor, but he ran a wonderful organization that was actually a Catholic organization called Bread for the World. It's a wonderful organization. And David Beckman used to say this very thing: there is enough food in the world. But then there was a caveat to that. What he would say is, God has provided enough food to feed the whole world. In effect, what he was saying is that God has done God's job. That the fact that there are people who are going hungry in our world is not on the Almighty. It's on us. It's a distribution issue. It's a uniquely United States issue. I'll tell you what I mean. Have any of you, and I did this last night, have any of you ever walked into your kitchen, opened the refrigerator, looked at a full refrigerator and said there's nothing to eat? My son, Noah, did that the other day. He walked in, he's like, geez, Dad, there's nothing to eat here. And by that, he meant nothing that was really bad for you. Or nothing that he wanted at that time. I'm not adverse, I can't just blame it on him. I do that too, I'm sure we all do. As a matter of fact, in my life, there are foods that I won't eat that would nourish me. Does anybody here have foods that you just refuse to eat? All right. I refuse to eat Brussels sprouts. Even though my wife has done all this really cool creative stuff. I've actually met people in this world who love Brussels sprouts. You see what I'm saying? There is enough food. There is enough Brussels sprouts in this world to feed you because I won't eat any at all. But that tells you about the beauty of our unique American reality. Several years ago when I was an intern in Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, we had a group of Germans come over. They were our sister congregation. So we had gone over to Germany. Well, they came over first, and then we went over to see them later. But when they came over to see us, you know what they thought was the most amazing thing that they saw in their whole American tour? A super Walmart. Seriously. They thought it was unbelievable that they could walk in and they could buy electronics, and they could buy clothes, jeans in particular, that they could buy other household goods, and that they could go in and buy food in amazing amounts of variety. You see, we in the United States are unique. And that not only do we have enough food, perhaps we have more than we should. It is, I imagine, in God's eyes, an absolute sin that we have people going hungry in our world and in our communities today. And that's why I'm so thankful for places like Bright Futures, for places that help to bring food to those who are food insufficient. I think of all this because when Jesus boldly proclaims today that I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Well, that hits me, especially as one who believes that, fully believes that, but also knows that there are hungry and thirsty people in our communities, indeed in our world. Several weeks ago in our staff meeting, we talked about the I am statements of Jesus, which he says in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of the world, I am the life, I'm the resurrection and the life, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, all of those I am statements. But we talked about how confident Jesus was. That we often think about Jesus as he's compassionate, or Jesus is righteous, or Jesus is holy, or Jesus is the judge. But how often do we think about Jesus as absolutely fully confident in knowing who he is and what he can do for you? It's not cocky, it's not arrogance, it's confidence of knowing I am the bread of the world. I am the one who can fully nourish you. And I have to think that there is some congruence, there is something here that connects. The idea that Jesus says, I am the one who can fully nourish you, and our ability to fully nourish the world. You know the term hangry? What is hangry? When you're hungry and you start acting a little crazy. What's the commercial out there that they say if you got to eat this, it'll make you feel better? Snickers, exactly. Everybody knows it. You don't want to be hangry. You're not the same when you're hungry. Well, I wonder if in America, our issue is not necessarily, at least for many of us, the actual hunger that we feel food-wise. It's that we are hangry in our life of faith. Maybe all of the dissonance, the anxiety, the frustration that is happening in our culture among different people with different thoughts and different ideas, the anxiety that is ramped up, the angry words that we see on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram, the difficulties we see on our televisions and our radios, all of this in our newspapers, perhaps it is because we are, as a society, we are angry spiritually. So hangry that I can walk to my refrigerator, open it up, and see plenty of nourishment there in front of me and say, I have nothing to eat. Maybe, just maybe, that we are doing that in our spiritual lives too. Because we cease to see what is right in front of us. The promise of the one who says, I am the bread of life. And what Jesus says here is that I am the bread of life. He just doesn't stop there. I am the bread of life, he said. I am the bread, and this is what makes him the bread of life, I submit to you this morning, is that I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. He says that twice in our text today. I am the bread of life that has come near. I am the bread of life that comes to you. In our lives of faith, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, the nourishment for our souls that can move us beyond our hangry notions to being blessings for others. Well, see, he offers himself first to us through our prayers, through our experiences of community, through bread and wine and a ritual that we do every week, through the gift of Holy Scripture, through the act of serving those around us, our Lord comes near. There is not just enough food in this world to satisfy our physical needs. There is enough Jesus in this world to fulfill our spiritual needs. Amen. God has done, as David Beckman said, God's job. God has provided enough food for us to feed the world, and God has provided enough of God to feed our souls. The problem, again, is distribution. The distribution of love. The distribution of mercy. The distribution of forgiveness. The distribution of peace. The distribution of grace. Jesus was confident enough to say, I am the bread of life and I can nourish you. I invite you, brothers and sisters, in your lives today, and as we move forward every day from this time, for you to claim that confidence for yourself. Well, where maybe you are unable to fully feel as if you can help and save and do all the things that Jesus is about doing, trust that in Him you can. Find your nourishment there. I would dare say that you may even find your nourishment in foods you don't like. Dare I say, spiritual Brussels sprouts. Places that you say, I cannot do that. I will not do that. But then you find out that when you are really hungry, well, you know what? Those Brussels sprouts of your spiritual life can actually feed you too. And that may be people. That may be a renewed commitment to community. That may be a renewed experience of reading the Bible. Friends, there is enough to feed the world. God has done God's job. Let us now enter the feast with confidence and with hope. Of knowing that we too, we shall be filled. And then we can help to feed the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn.